Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church. How we doing today? That was pathetic. Good morning, church. How we doing today? Hi. There are people in the auditorium. So glad you guys are here. What an exciting day to be in church today. Lots of great things happening. I'm going to read you a verse here in just a minute, and we're going to give together today. Before I do that, though, I just want to highlight a couple of awesome things that are happening right here. This is our building right now. This is what God's given us, and we're using it to the fullest. And so today, we've actually added, if we need to rip up little things up there, go for it. If we need to pull back the tarps and make room for the 3,000 that are getting saved today. Praise Jesus. But today we're adding another theater. We are adding theater number 13 for our junior high class. Come on. We have a great youth ministry here at Canvas Church, and they've been walking through the courtyard over to O's every single Sunday morning to have class in the patio. And what we do is we bribe them with breadsticks. How many of you guys love those breadsticks from O's? Come on, somebody. But some of the parents have been complaining that their kids have been coming back chubbier. And so, no, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. But we just felt like walking across the courtyard wasn't maybe the best. And so we just finally found a way for God to open up another theater for us. And so today will be their first day in the theater. Come on, somebody. Gonna be awesome. And so I want to read you a verse this morning as we get ready to give. And I have it on my phone somewhere because that's my Bible. The phone isn't my Bible. The Bible's on my phone. And I want to read you a verse out of Acts. And this verse right here talks about generosity. And one of our core values here at Canvas Church, if you see this behind me right here, is generous. We've been talking about the church the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue to talk about it today. And as I talk about the generous church, we're going to do something super cool today as a church, something that we've done in the past. But we're a part of a thing called ARC, Association of Related Churches, which is a church planting organization, which helped plant us many years ago. We'll be celebrating 6 years as a church this January. Come on. How many guys think we should get a building by then in the next 4 months and move in? That'll be our 6-year gift. All right. Well, you better give today then. All right. We're a part of that, and it's been an amazing journey. And the cool part about this journey is we get to partner with other new churches that are getting planted. And one particular church that's going to be planted in downtown, we're going to highlight, and I'm going to have them come up in just a minute. But I want to read you this verse out of Acts chapter 2, and it's talking about the church. And it says, so those, and it's Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, so those who accepted his message, that's the gospel, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. Come on, somebody. How many guys like to see that added right now to Canvas Church? Some of you are like, no, I like my comfort. I don't want to give up my seat. We just have to get a bigger theater. It's okay. 3,000 people added in one day because the gospel was being preached. How powerful is that? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What's the apostles' teaching? It's the Bible. It's the good news about Jesus. To the fellowship, that's gathering together, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We talked about prayer last week. Then fear came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Wow, that's powerful. Now, here at Canvas Church, we see that in Scripture. Here's the cool part, though. It's no longer just happening through a select group of people, the apostles. It's happening through believers now. Are you with me? Signs and wonders happening through believers as they step out in faith and begin to pray for people. So look what happens, though. So revival breaks out. Look at this, verse 45. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. Pastor, are you going to ask me to sell my home? No, I'm not. But if God does, anyway, I'm not. But this is what they did. This is the Bible. We're just reading the Bible. Are you with me? Revival breaks out, and they're just bringing all of this abundance. What is this? This is a generous church. And they distributed to all who had need. I love this. And it says this, verse 46, and every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex, and they broke bread from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful, are you looking at it now? Joyful and humble attitude. Now you love that? They broke bread. How many of you guys love bread? Anybody? Cake? Come on, somebody. Twinkies, donuts. Come on. Carbs, somebody. They broke those carbs, and they did it with joyfulness. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? I love this verse because it talks about the generous church. And here's one thing we learned long ago, that we are just a part of the church. We are not the church. Canvas Church is just an expression of the church, and God's doing some incredible things through Canvas. But I believe with all my heart that the best way to reach more people in a city is by planting new churches. Are you with me? And so we get this question asked a lot, like, Pastor, where does the money go? Man, it goes right here. The theater ain't free, right? And you didn't have to buy a ticket to get in. Come on, somebody, right? And so you came in. Why is that? Because we paid for the theater, right? Because of the giving. The programs we have, the facilities we have, it's because of the giving. But you know what? The giving goes to help plant more new churches through ARC, Associated Related Churches. And since we've planted, over 800 churches have been planted. Come on, somebody. And we've been a part of every single one of this. Now, in particular, I'm excited about this. I'm going to ask Carlos and Gina, come on up. And this is an incredible church planting couple that is going to be planting a church in downtown San Diego. Come on. Now, if it weren't hard enough, now, about 9 years ago, my wife walked this same path. About 9 years ago, we actually planted a church called Urban Church. Come right over here. Planted a church called Urban Church in downtown. And so he found out about it. We connected. He wanted to know what we did. And I said, we moved out. So you go get it. All right. That, you know, planting a church in and of itself is difficult. Planting a church in San Diego is difficult. Planting a church in downtown San Diego is difficult. But we believe that God has called an incredible couple to reach people, not just there, but wherever they might be, that will drive to downtown. And God's raised up this beautiful couple, Carlos and Gina, Luminous City Church. Luminous City is the name of the church, but it's going to be a church. Luminous City Church. And so they're launching in January. And we're going to be a big part of that. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray for them as a church, okay? And but I know he's a preacher, and so if I gave him the mic, my time would be gone like that. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray, but here's what's going to happen. I want to ask you to give extravagantly today. I want to ask you to give above and beyond. I want to ask you to give generously today. And 10% of whatever comes in today is going to go right to their ministry and help start their church in January. Amen? And so we're going to do that. The other thing we're going to do is this. They're going to be out in the lobby after this service, and they'll be just right there across from the info table. And if you live in downtown, or if you live closer to downtown than you do here, and you want to find out more about Luminous Church, and you want to find out more about what's going on there, and maybe you feeling God calling you to be a part of that church plant, I want you to go talk to them. I want you to get info, and I want you to see if that's what God's calling you to do. Are you with me, church? Because here's what we believe. We believe that we're a part of the church. We are not the whole church. And we know one thing they're going to need. They're going to need finances. They're going to need people to plant the church that God's put in their heart. And so if God puts that on your heart, maybe you have friends that live in downtown and you can tell them about this new church. So make sure you hook up with them in the lobby. Love for you to do that. Love for you to give extravagantly today. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here. Ask Cody and Michelle to come up here. Some of our executive leadership team. I'm looking for more. They're probably around somewhere. Some of them are out of town today and we're doing double duty. But we're going to pray for them. I want you, church, and it doesn't matter what your background. If your background is charismatic, you want to stretch out your hand, you stretch out your hand, all right? If your background is something you're just more reserved, you can just fold your hands and bow your head, all right? But we're going to pray for this church and pray for this couple and believe that God's going to do amazing things. And I'm going to ask you, as we're praying, for God to speak to you about an amount to give. And I want you to give, and we're going to give 10% of that all to this church. Amen? Amen. God, we thank you so much for an opportunity to partner, God, with great churches that are being planted in this city. God, I thank you for this beautiful couple. God, I thank you for what you put in their heart. God, I thank you. You called them specifically to this city and specifically to downtown and probably many more areas as their church continues to grow and begins to grow. And God, I'm just asking right now that you would bring all of the resources they need, Lord God, to launch this church, God, to get this thing off the ground, that you would bring the money, that God, you would bring the people, that you'd bring the leadership, you'd bring the worship leaders. And you bring the children's workers, and you'd bring the setup and pack-up team. Let me pray for that one again. You'd bring the setup and pack-up team. Come on, you'd bring the setup and pack-up team. God, add to them everything they need. And God, I pray, Lord, right now for the thing that might keep them awake at night. God, whether it's a family concern, a personal concern, or whether it's a church concern. God, I pray that today that would subside, and they would not worry or think about it any longer. I just feel like the Holy Spirit would say that to you today, that there's been a couple of things that have been on your heart and been on your mind that when you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. He says, don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it, daughter. I got it covered. I got your family covered. I got your personal finances covered. I got the church plant covered. I got everything covered. You don't have to worry about it. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider, and I'm going to provide for you exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. God bless this church. Let it be a great light in our city. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 I'm serious. I want you guys to at least connect. I want you to at least connect with them in the lobby. Give them a handshake. Get some information about their church so you can at least be praying for them. Once again, if God has spoken to you, like, I need to check that out and hear more about that, do it. All right? We're into building the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Check out the screen. Are buckets passed yet? They will right now. Awesome. This is going to go, and buckets are going to do their thing, and I'm going
to
sit down.
Good morning, and welcome to Canvas Church. We're so glad that you could join us today.
And learning how to worship God, how to get into His presence, and in that, just be healed, restored, and become whole.
Yeah, and we love that we get the opportunity to raise our kids in that kind of community and atmosphere. We love the church.
Come on. Who loves the church? Come on, I love the church, man. You know, I love the church because the church is people. And I love, man, that couple that was on the screen there, phenomenal couple. We have so many incredible people that serve and make things happen here at Canvas Church. I mean, we're a setup and pack up church. And overseeing the setup, pack up ministry, man, huge, huge responsibility. What I love most about this family is they bring all three of their children with them every Sunday at 7 a.m. And their children aren't teenagers. Not like their children are lugging stuff around and helping out. Their children are small, but they come, man, and they serve. And so, man, I just love, can we give our ministry team a hand? I love our team. If it's your very first time here today, I just want to take 1 second just to welcome you, but also highlight this packet, which was highlighted in the news. It's either going to be on the seat right in front of you, maybe on the seat you're sitting in, or maybe off the left or right. Inside is a thing called the connection card. If you wouldn't mind just taking that out, filling that out, letting us know you're here at Canvas Church. And here's what you can do with that card. You can take it to our new here kiosk, which is right out there, and we have a free gift for you. You drop it there. Here's what's going to happen this week. We're going to give you one phone call, see if there's any way we can pray for you, help you take your next step here at Canvas Church, and we're also going to follow it up with an email. So make sure you fill that out, drop it at the new here kiosk. But we are in a series entitled This Is Us, and we're talking all about the church. Now you see some words up here that already point, oh yes, junior high, I'm so sorry. Junior high, if you're first time in junior high, you're new to junior high, whatever, we got a class for you, it's awesome. It's no longer at O's, it's in a theater, maybe they'll run and get breadsticks, I don't know. They actually did, that's phenomenal. And so go have fun, eat your breadsticks. Sorry parents, they're still gonna get chubby, okay. I'm just kidding. But we're in this series entitled This Is Us, and soon we're talking about the church. As we get to the tail end of this, we're going to talk specifically about Canvas Church and some of our core values and maybe what makes us unique to some of the other churches that would be in our city. But first, what we want to do is we want to look at the church, what the Bible says the church is. Because you could go to a lot of different churches. You could go to 10 different churches in 10 different weeks and walk away with a different idea of what the church is. But I think what we need to do is we need to look at the Bible and what does the Bible say the church is and who is the church supposed to be. Now, as I jump into today, I have to apologize because I promised all of the people that love to take notes on paper that I would have notes for you starting in October. And I want you to know I have them. They are sitting on the printer. But they're there. I will snap a picture later today, post it on social media so you know I'm not lying, all right? But they are there. So all of you, how many paper people, you love writing in notes on paper, okay? So I thought about you, and it's the thought that counts, all right? And so I did think about you. We did print them. They are on the printer. We will have those next week, but we will have next week's version next week, all right? But here's the great thing, why you should love the app. How many fantasy football people do I have in the house? You love sports. Only two of you. All right, then I guess we don't need to continue that analogy. All right. This is why I love using the app. Because if you're on the app, I think you're looking at the notes in the Bible, but you're actually checking your scores. Come on, somebody. Right? Someone asked me one time, Pastor, why do you preach from an iPad? So I know what's going on with my fantasy team. All right. Turning to Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 13 through 20. And we're going to continue this series. This is us talking about the church, the church. What we're going to see today as we read this is when Jesus references his church, and anytime the church is referenced in the Bible, it's talking about people. It's not talking about a building. It's not talking about an organization. It's not talking about an institution. It's talking about people. Specifically in this passage I'm going to read, the original word is the word ecclesia, and this is what it means. Let me tell you what it means. The word ecclesia means a called out company or assembly. In other words, it's people that have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, okay? Every time it talks about people, here's the way I like to define the church here at Canvas Church. Let me read it to you. The church is imperfect people who have come to seek a God who loves them in their imperfections. The church is imperfect people. That's all of us. That's you, that's me. We're all in process. We're not perfect. We've got stuff we're working on. God's working on it. It's imperfect people who have come together to seek a God who loves them in their imperfections. We are the church. Say, I am the church. You're the church. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. I'm going to read from one of my favorite translations, the Holman Christian, and it reads, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Let's just pause there for a moment because Jesus has his disciples. They've been walking together for a little while now, and the disciples have learned some things about Jesus and seen some things take place. Why all of a sudden in this moment is Jesus turning to his disciples and saying, hey, who do people say that I am? Well, if we catch the context of Caesarea Philippi,
In Caesarea Philippi, there was a big mountain range. And at the base of that mountain range was this really big cliff that extended up. And all of the rock was exposed. On the top of this rock, on the top of this cliff, a temple was built to Caesar. And it became known as a place of worship. But what happened was is that people now would create niches in the rock and they would set their own god inside of this rock, or they would set an idol or something they worship. So now here's the setting. Jesus comes into Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and they're probably standing at the base of this cliff, this rock, with all of these gods displayed that people would come to worship. And it's in that moment where Jesus wanted to ask his disciples this question. Who do people say that I am, the Son of Man? Who do people say that I am? There's all the gods in the background, but Jesus is making a statement and he's taking a stance. And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he switches it on them. Check this out. He says, okay, but you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say? It's one thing to know what everyone else is saying. It's one thing to know what your mama believes. It's one thing to know what your daddy believes. It's one thing to know what your pastor believes. But here Jesus changes everything and says, look, it's not about what everybody else is saying. He looks at him and says, okay, I want to know what you believe. I want to know what you think about me. Who do you say that I am? Thus, he begins to do something very important here. He begins to make this stance and statement. Look, you cannot come to the kingdom of God and you cannot be a part of the church until you have a revelation of who Jesus is. Who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, and Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I can just see this moment play out, right? Like, I mean, here it is. They're being asked, you know, like, all right, who do people say I am? Oh, they say this. Who do you say I am? And Peter, man, oh, I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Slapping the high five to all the disciples, right? Like, guys, I think I got this one right. But look at what Jesus has a way of deflating people in a very loving, warm, caring way. He says, well done, Simon. That wasn't you that said that. You didn't get that revelation on your own. But that was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. Which if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, we understand that salvation comes through Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. And before you start thinking that that faith was all your own, He goes on in the scripture, and that faith wasn't even your own. I love this because Jesus says, hey, the only way to enter is through a revelation of who I am, but you can't get that revelation without him. You with me? Verse 18, and I also say to you, you are Peter. Wait a second, I thought his name was Simon. Just like two verses ago, his name was Simon. What's going on now? Why is he calling him Peter? Because based on the revelation of who Jesus Christ was, a transformation starts to take place. Based on the revelation that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, before this, his name was Simon. Simon meaning a reed that would bend in the wind. Literally, that's the name Simon. You're like a reed that bends in the wind. It says, you're no longer going to be called that, but because you know who I am now, come on, your life is going to be like a rock. So therefore, I'm going to change your name to Peter, which subsequently means rock. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. Now, let's not misunderstand the scripture, because many have. Many think that, okay, his name got changed to Peter, that's rock. Jesus said, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Was he saying that he's going to build his church on Peter? No, he's not saying he's going to build his church on Peter. What he's saying is, I'm going to build my church on the rock of revelation that Peter just had, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because the church is not going to be built on a human. The church is not going to be built on a person. The church is going to be built on one, and that's Jesus Christ. Are you with me today? So I'm going to build my church on this rock, the revelation that you had. I love it. And who's going to build it? Jesus. And the forces, I love this verse. This one got to get you excited. And the forces of Hades will not overpower it. Say, I am. The church. Guess what? The forces of Hades, that's hell, that's the enemy, aren't going to overpower you. Not going to prevail against you. And it gets better. Verse 19. And on top of that, although the enemy might want to overpower you and try to overpower, he won't overpower you. On the other side, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hello. Are you with me today, church? Those are some keys right there. I'm going to give you the keys, the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. I want to read that part again. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the forces of Hades will not overpower it. Come on, I will build my church. And the forces of Hades will not overpower it. I will build my church. Say, I am the church. I will build my church. And the forces of hell will not overpower it. Power. God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that Lord, you would teach us from this passage. That God, as we surround ourselves around this text, that we would be strengthened, we'd be encouraged, we'd be challenged, maybe we'd be corrected. And we'd walk out of here having encountered your son, Jesus, knowing your love and understanding the incredible plan that you have for our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Do I have anybody in here that was in high school in the late 80s, early 90s? That would be mine. All right. And now, even if you weren't there, you might remember something called Hammer Time. Does anybody remember Hammer Time? Yeah. Right? Like, come on, Hammer Time, right? Like parachute pants and, man, he can dance. I can't. As a matter of fact, last week, I think church is kind of turning into a musical here for us. Last week, we played Watch Me Whip. Is anybody here for that? No, everybody left the church after that. They're like, I saw South Carolina. Well, all of you that came back, thank you. And I proved that was a biblical song as Jesus came into the temple with a whip. Thank you. And he told all the people in there, nay, nay. Are you with me? All right? And so, yeah, watch it. It was a great message, okay? And I don't know what it is. You can ask my family at home. Like, life is kind of a musical for me. Like, I'll just be through the house singing, whistling. Sometimes there might be an interpretive dance that goes with it. But it's just my home. You can ask my kids and my wife. It's a true story. And so sometimes it's crazy. Sometimes when I'm studying, like, songs will come to me. And so this week I was sitting here and I was reading this passage over and over again. And I was so moved as I was reading this passage of scripture where it says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. And I'm like, yeah, my chest is bowing. And I'm like, yes. And on this rock, I will build my church. And I'm like, yes. So good. And this part right here. And the forces of Hades will not overpower it. And this song came on in my head as I
told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know
we start dancing.
Look at my eyes, right? Man.
This is my song, right? This is my jam, right?
Yo,
like when I was in high school, you play this warming up to basketball, right?
You got it like that.
Like this was hard back in the day. Like you rolling down the street with your window down. Can't touch this, right?
Hold on.
It's awesome. I was reading this passage, and I kid you not, as I'm reading the passage, that night my head started going, and I'm like, that's right. That's right, devil. You can't touch this. This is the church. You can't touch this, devil. Come on. This is your people. You can't touch this, devil. Sickness, you got no place in my life. You can't touch this, devil. Are you with me? And I was like getting down in my study time, man. It was powerful. I love this passage because in this moment, man, Jesus walking with his disciples, probably a little bit agitated by what he sees in the cliff. And he wants to get his disciples on the same page. And so he begins to download some serious revelation into them, which has changed the course of history for all time. He says, hey, guys, I got a question for you. Yeah, who do people say I am? Oh, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah. Some just one of the prophets. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, I want to know something. Who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if we move too quickly through this passage, we miss an incredible point that we need to understand as Christ followers. Because most Christ followers stop at the revelation of who he is. We come to church, or maybe someone read a verse or prayed with us, led us to the Lord, and you come to this place like, yeah, he's God, he's good. Man, he cleansed me from my sins, and man, this is so amazing, so awesome. I feel so free inside. It's an incredible feeling. It makes me want to sing another song. But we didn't have one queued up, so. And it's this great feeling. And here's the tragedy. Most believers stop right there. I'm free. I'm free. I know who he is. And they don't move on. If we don't move on, we miss the very next part. Because listen, he wants you to discover who he is, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he's all powerful and he's all knowing and he's all loving and he's all caring. But then he also wants you to know he's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for you being saved. You did not just get saved so that you could live your happy Christian life and one day get to heaven. You got saved for a purpose, and that purpose is he's going to build his church through you. He says, look, you were like a reed blowing in the wind before you came to me. But now that you know me, man, your life is going to be planted on the rock. Man, you're going to face some stuff. But I want you to know something, no matter what you face, man, not even hell itself will overpower you. Wow, can't touch this. My music hits me so hard. Makes me wanna say, oh my Lord. Jeff, I'm surprised you're not up here singing it with me right now. So I'm gonna build my church, and you're gonna be a part of it. I'm gonna build my church, you're gonna be a part of it. Let me just give you a few things here that I see in this passage. Once Peter has the revelation of who Christ is, Jesus says, okay, here's who you are, and now I'm gonna download something into you. Here's what he downloads. First thing is this. Jesus is building his church, and he is building it on himself. Jesus is absolutely building his church, and he's building it on himself. He is not building it on the idea of man. He is not building it on the newest fad. He is not building it on the newest leadership book that came out. He is not building it on opinions. He is building it solely on who he is. He says, on that rock. What rock? The rock of the revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on that, me, he's saying, I'm me. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation of it all. It is him. It is him and him alone. Now, this ought to free me up, and it ought to free you up. Because listen to me now, you are not building his church. What? No. You're a tool in his hand that he's using to build his church, but he is building his church. My wife and I right now are in the process of building a home. I got my first blister to prove it. It's right there. It's little, but I got it. Passed inspection on the underground plumbing. I kid you not. I looked at the inspector. I said, did we pass? He said, yep. I said, thank you. I grabbed a shovel and I started shoveling dirt right over the top of that plumbing. Everybody's looking at me like, what are you doing? I was like, hey, man, we got to get moving. Let me tell you something. That shovel wasn't building a house. I was building it. The shovel is just a tool in my hand. Are you with me? I have a general contractor friend that's helped me build my house. Every tool he uses is not building my house. He's building my house with the tool that's in his hand. Listen, Jesus is building his church, and you are just a tool. And I mean that in the most loving way possible. So when you walk out today and I shake your hand, I say, man, you're a great tool. I mean that as a compliment. We're just a tool in his hand. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says that we ought to be vessels of honor, sanctified and set apart for the master's use. He's building his church. I'm just a tool in his hand. And so listen to me now. That ought to get me happy. I'll tell you right now. When I first planted, I felt like I was building his church. And I felt like I had to do everything. I was like, well, we gotta run some ads. Gotta get some people. Where's the volunteers? We'll call ministry team. Just a fancy way to call volunteer, right? Or voluntold, either way. But you know, and I felt like I had to do all this stuff. And man, we had to get. Now I'll tell you what. A couple years ago, I kind of relaxed a little bit, team. I did. And I think you'd all agree with that. At least in public, in front of everybody. Because I don't want to be a liar in church. I come to realize, you know what? He has a master plan. And he's building his church. Now, his church is people. So he's building people. And you know what? Sometimes when you're building, you need a hammer. Sometimes you need a saw. Sometimes you need a nail gun. Right? Sometimes you need a shovel. And because we're a many-membered body, we all are different tools in his hand. And sometimes, man, I just feel like I'm being used like crazy. And man, things are like, oh, yeah, it's your time. You're a hammer. It's time to hit some things. But sometimes when you're off on the sideline, what is that? That's the time to rest. Right? But he never stops building his church. Somebody with me this morning? He's building his church. He's the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22 would tell us that he's the chief cornerstone. We're just a part of what he's doing. He's building it, not me. And that is a freeing thought. Here's the thing. It gives me crazy peace, but also crazy boldness. Because peace, knowing that he's doing it. Boldness, knowing, hey, God, here I am. If it's time for me to start swinging, go, come on, use me. Start using. Okay, and here's why it gives me so much boldness, because he's got the blueprint and he's building it. See, here's where church and people get messy is when we start trying to do it for him. Here's the greatest thing I can do as the pastor, and the greatest thing you can do as he's building your life. It doesn't matter, I'm pastor. I pray on many different levels. I'm praying personally for my family, but I'm also praying for the church. I know many of you do too. But here's the greatest way I can build the church. Pray, wait, pray, wait, read the Bible, pray, wait, pray, wait, pray, read the Bible some more, wait, pray. You got the easiest job in the world, Pastor. Yeah, I only work one day a week. I'm just kidding. Can I tell you something? That's the greatest way that you could build your life. That's the greatest way that you could build your marriage. That's the greatest way. Are you with me? And then when he speaks in the waiting moment, then you obey. He is building his church. The second thing I see in the scripture, number two, is you are the church he's building. You're the church he's building. Hey guys, I want to know, who do you think I am? Who do people say I am? Okay, I want to know, who do you say I am? Yes! Ding, 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 ding. You got it right. And now I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to use you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you, and I'm going to give you keys. Let's go. I'm a part of the church he's building. Listen, I'm the number one thing. We are the number one thing on his mind. people. People are the number one thing. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus himself is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And what is he doing? He's praying for you. Think about that. I mean, it's one thing to ask a friend to pray for you. But when all of a sudden you realize and you get a revelation that, wait a second, the scripture tells me that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is praying. His very existence right now is making intercession for me. Hello. That's a powerful thought. You are the church. He is building. Romans 8:34 says it. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for us. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us who we are. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, a people that is set apart for him, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's you. You are the church. He's building it. He's building on himself. You are the church. Now, I'll tell you what, a couple years ago, I kind of relaxed a little bit, team. I did. I think you'd all agree with that. At least in public, in front of everybody. Because I don't want to be a liar in church. I come to realize, you know what? He has a master plan. And he's building his church. Now, his church is people. So he's building people. And you know what? Sometimes when you're building, you need a hammer. Sometimes you need a saw. Sometimes you need a nail gun. Right? Sometimes you need a shovel. And because we're a many-membered body, we all are different tools in his hand. And sometimes, man, I just feel like I'm being used like crazy. And man, things are like, oh, yeah, it's your time. You're a hammer. It's time to hit some things. But sometimes when you're off on the sideline, what is that? That's the time to rest, right? But he never stops building his church. Somebody with me this morning? He's building his church. He's the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22 would tell us that he's the chief cornerstone. We're just a part of what he's doing. He's building it, not me. And that is a freeing thought. Here's the thing. It gives me crazy peace, but also crazy boldness. Because peace, knowing that he's doing it. Boldness, knowing, hey, God, here I am. If it's time for me to start swinging and go, come on, use me. Start using. Okay, and here's why it gives me so much boldness, because he's got the blueprint and he's building it. See, here's where church and people get messy is when we start trying to do it for him. Here's the greatest thing I can do as the pastor, and the greatest thing you can do as he's building your life. It doesn't matter, I'm pastor. I pray on many different levels. I'm praying personally for my family, but I'm also praying for the church. I know many of you do too. But here's the greatest way I can build the church. Pray, wait, pray, wait, read the Bible, pray, wait, pray, wait, pray, read the Bible some more, wait, pray. You got the easiest job in the world, Pastor. Yeah, I only work one day a week. I'm just kidding. Can I tell you something? That's the greatest way that you could build your life. That's the greatest way that you could build your marriage. That's the greatest way. Are you with me? And then when he speaks in the waiting moment, then you obey. He is building his church. The second thing I see in the scripture, number two, is you are the church he's building. You're the church he's building. Hey guys, I want to know, who do you think I am? Who do people say I am? Okay, I want to know, who do you say I am? Yes! Ding, 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 ding. You got it right. And now I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to use you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you, and I'm going to give you keys. Let's go. I'm a part of the church he's building. Listen, I'm the number one thing. We are the number one thing on his mind. People. People are the number one thing. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus himself is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And what is he doing? He's praying for you. Think about that. I mean, it's one thing to ask a friend to pray for you. But all of a sudden you realize and you get a revelation that, wait a second, the scripture tells me that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is praying. His very existence right now is making intercession for me. Hello. That's a powerful thought. You are the church. He's building. Romans 8:34 says it. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for us. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us who we are. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, a people that is set apart for him, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's you. You are the church. He's building it. He's building on himself. You are the church. People are the church. The word is ecclesia, called out company, an assembly. Now listen to me. I want you to understand this. It's not called out one. It's called out assembly. Because I've had people come to me and say, no, I don't do the church thing. I was like, what do you don't do the church thing? You is the church. Well, I just don't like gathering together with other people. Then you ain't the church. That's the truth. Why does the Bible say wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is? It's because you can't be the church by yourself. Just like my arm can't be the body by itself. It's a detached part of the body. Are you with me? We are the church. We come together. Imperfect people seeking a God who loves them in their imperfections. Number three. Hell. I did that the first service too. I didn't mean to again. But when I pause right there, it sounds like I swear. Hell, the enemy, will try to stop the church. That's you. Not know what it says? It says this. It says, hey, listen, I'm going to build my church. And the very next thing he says, after he says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it, will not subdue it, will not overpower it, will not suppress it. Okay, now listen, it doesn't say that the enemy won't try. Are you with me? It just says he won't win. It says it ain't going to happen. Listen, although the enemy comes at me one way, he's going to flee before me seven different ways. Are you with me? Listen, we need to understand this. We're his church. He's building his church. The gates of hell won't prevail. It doesn't mean they won't come. You need to understand that. You need to hear that. Because they will absolutely come and try to stop you. Try to stop you. Now, I think most of us can think back maybe to the first time we said yes to Jesus, or maybe even the first time within our spiritual journey, we jump in and start getting involved in church. Right? We're going to serve. We're going to become a part of a small group, which is a great thing to be a part of. All of a sudden you go, man, I'm going to small group, and you're on your way to small group, and like you have the biggest fight with your spouse on the way to small group. And so then you sit outside a small group, you know, and everybody, they said they were coming. Where are they at? And then they walk in 15 minutes late, and then they're vulnerable, and they say, oh, we were fighting in the car. That's our small groups. I love it. And then we just work it out together as a community. What were you fighting about? Where we wanted to eat? It's usually the littlest things, right? I wanted pizza. She wanted burgers. Now, why is it when we take those steps to dive in, that all of a sudden it feels like there's this resistance? Here's why it feels that way. Because there's resistance. He said it's going to happen. The gates of hell, they're going to come. They're going to come for you. They're going to try to stop you, because ultimately they're trying to stop the church, what I'm doing, what God's building, right? And so the attack's on you, trying to stop you. So do not be surprised, church, when all of a sudden you start taking steps forward, right? Like you just got married, got a newly married couple over here, my niece, and now my nephew, Chris. Matter of fact, I'm just going to put you guys on the spot. My niece and nephew, could you stand real quick? Come on. You just popped into mine. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Come on. 30 days ago, hello, just got married. There's like a new joy on him. Isn't that awesome? I told him he had to call me uncle now. He used to call me Pastor Ben all the time. I'm like, no, you got to call me uncle now. It's awesome. All of a sudden, you're newly married. You're like excited about life. And all of a sudden, okay, now we're married. Let's get involved together as we're a married couple. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, what's that? That's the gates of hell, trying to prevail against you. Are you with me? This really does happen. Make no mistake. Listen, if it's worth doing, it's worth fighting for. If it's worth doing, the enemy's going to come against you. I mean, come on. Think about anything in life. Like, I mean, it's always the things that taste good that are bad for you, right? It's the easy things, right, that are bad for you. I mean, for me to just stop when the resistance comes, I mean, let me put it this way. When you haven't worked out in a long time, and someone's like, come to the gym, you'll feel so much better. No, you won't. They're lying, right? You go to the gym, and you're like, oh, what is that? And the dude's like, that's a knee. It's like, oh, there's muscles around that. You've just been working those out. Oh, okay, right? Next morning, you wake up, and you can barely get out of bed. You're like, oh, what is that? I wasn't aware that that was there. Those are muscles, right? Yeah. I mean, you're so out of shape, in the middle of the night, you pull a muscle, right? Like, oh, what was that? Because you went to the gym, okay? Now, let's be honest. You don't feel better when you go to the gym. But the more you go to the gym and the more you work out, as you face that resistance of those weights, you begin to build yourself and you begin to get strengthened, and all of a sudden your physique begins to change. Not just thinking about it, and I got buffed. Did you see that? Why are you laughing, babe? They're laughing at me too. All right. Man, the church is caring and loving. That should have been a point in there somewhere. Jerks. You're in the gym and you're working out. Day one, man, it hurt. There's like, what is that? It's uncomfortable. They said I was going to feel better. But as you keep going and you keep going and you keep going to that community, all of a sudden now you begin to see the change and the transformation. Listen to me. The same thing is true in the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says, exercise yourself toward godliness. Hate that verse. Exercise. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. Exercise. Yeah, do it. You're going to face resistance, but listen to me right now. If you are in the middle of resistance in your health, in your finances, in your marriage, or any other area of life right now, know this. You are moving on. You are going in a good direction. The enemy is trying to prevail. Do not succumb to his lies. You've got to push through, because if you push through, the promise is on the other side. He told us, hey, it's going to happen. Just don't let them win. Do not let them win. Victory is ours. Victory belongs to the church. Belongs to the church. Gates of hell will try, but they will not prevail. Are you with me today? Yeah. Lastly, the church has authority. The church has authority. He not only warns him and says, hey, I'm going to build my church, building it on me. You get to be a part of it. Enemy's going to try to come, but listen to me. He will not win. He will not prevail. You're victorious. And not only that, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. My gosh. He gave the church the keys of the kingdom. It says, hey, whatever you unlock on earth, it's already been unlocked in heaven. Why is that? Because he's the one in heaven making intercession for us. We pray, we wait, we obey, we unlock. Whatever you bind on earth, guess what? It's already been bound in heaven. In other words, we need to make sure, church, that we're in divine connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're taking our cues from him, not from culture. And now all of a sudden we can walk with that authority and we can begin to unlock. What are we unlocking? We're unlocking people's hearts. We're unlocking hope in people. We're unlocking destinies and the future. We're not talking organizations. We're talking people. We're talking humanity. He's building his church. It's the greatest thing happening on the planet today. And the authority has been given to us. We get to be a part of it. And I can't think of anything greater to be a part of. But listen to me. Some of you, my God, some of you are experiencing resistance in your life. And you're just like, you're like killing over, like, ah. experiencing resistance in your finances. My gosh, what, I started tithing. And they told me if I started tithing, there'd be a blessing. I don't see the blessing. Keep tithing. The breakthrough's on the other side. I'm telling you right now, the breakthrough is on the other side. Some of you experiencing some resistance in your marriage. Matter of fact, some of you feel like maybe you've never been on the same page since day one. What happened to all the bliss when we were dating? They wrote me poems. I saw some couples be like, yeah, I remember that. They wrote poems. There was just such a connection. And then we got married and it feels like, yeah, because the enemy knows if you two get on the same page together, that nothing can stop you. If you two get on the same page together, listen, the Bible says two are better than one. And so of course the enemy is going to come and resist your marriage, especially when you're trying to live for Jesus Christ and trying to do the right thing and the godly thing and the biblical thing. Yeah, the enemy's going to resist that. Absolutely. Because he knows if you two come together, man, anything is possible. Hallelujah. Don't kill over. Push through. Fight through it. Push through. Fight through it. And here's the great thing. You don't have to do it alone. It's the church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Don't walk it alone. You never meant to live it alone. We surround each other. We walk in forgiveness with one another. We champion each other on the cause of Jesus Christ. We're victorious. We're victorious. He's building his church. That's people. That's you and the gates of hell. Listen to me. I feel like some of you, the gates of hell had tried to prevail against. There was a couple sitting right over here in the first service thinking about their story. Beautiful couple. Enemy comes in against their marriage, try to destroy their marriage. Matter of fact, anybody that knew what was going on and involved would probably think, I don't know if this one's going to work out. But the church. I think about Jeff and Christy. Some of you know their story, and they'll share their story with you. Because it's a beautiful story of redemption and restoration and the grace of Jesus Christ. And most people would look at that scenario in their situation and think, nah, man, it's over. It's over. It's over. The gates of hell will try to prevail, but they won't win. They won't win. They tried to win in this man's life. They tried to win in this family. They tried to win. But there was a church that was praying. There was people that surrounded them. There's people that believed in them. That's the church. The church, listen to me. When you don't feel like you can win, guess what? You're in a church. The church knows you can win. You're going to have those moments where you feel like, I can't make it. I can't overcome this. And we're never going to see better days. But then the church comes around. The people that you surround, the community that you're in comes around and says, no, you're going to make it because it's already been taken care of in heaven. You're victorious. You belong to, you're his son. You're his daughter. And there is nothing he won't do for you. He will move heaven and earth. He will move every obstacle. Whatever it takes, he will do it for you because you are the church. You're victorious. You're not a victim. Man, you're a child of God. You're the head. You're not the tail. You belong to him. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what you're walking. Listen to me. If you need to hear some stories, come talk to us. We'll share some stories about our leadership team, what God's done in their life. You blow your mind. No matter what you're walking through right now, I'm telling you right now, you're a part of the victorious church, and the enemy can't touch this. He can't touch your health. He can't touch your marriage. He can't touch your kids. He may try, but I'm telling you, he might come against you one way, but he's going to have to flee before you seven different ways. Are you with me today? Are you with me today? I believe this with all my heart. I believe we are entering into some of the greatest seasons we've ever entered into as the church, but also as Canvas Church. I believe this is our time to shine the love of Jesus Christ like never before. I'm so excited for your guys' church plant. I'm so excited for you to be a beacon of light in this city. We can partner together and see people come to know him. Man, it's going to be a beautiful church. It already is. He already sees it. And it's already a beautiful thing. I can already see the community gathering together. Man, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to surpass everything you've asked and anything you've ever imagined. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel so strong. I want to pray for some people this morning. I feel so strongly that there's specifically, can I just pray for marriage? Do me a favor, church. Just stand to your feet and close your eyes. I just want to pray for marriages. Been on my heart all morning since the first service. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for those that are married. Those that, and you can respond if you feel like this is you, but there's just been some tension. If you let this moment be your moment, it will absolutely be what you need it to be. But I always want to pray for those that are married. I feel like there's those that aren't married and they feel like there's a resistance to them getting to that line. Like, I want to get married. And make no mistake, the enemy doesn't want you to. Because two are better than one. But I also want to pray for those that are engaged, feeling a challenge. And, you know, you might be here, you might not. But I just feel so strongly to pray for marriages. When every eye closed, every head bowed, you'd say, Pastor, could you pray for mine? Could you pray for mine? Your eyes are closed, your head is bowed. Just shoot your hand in there right where you're at. Maybe your spouse isn't even here. Maybe they're not even here. Maybe they are here. It's okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, you're victorious. You're the church. You're the church. You're the church. You're the church. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. You're here. I want to pray for one other thing. Put your hands down. I'm going to pray for both these groups. You're here, and you've been battling some health issues. And I want to say it this way, health issues in your body, but also health issues in your emotions or your mind. And that's you. I want to pray for you because I believe the enemy's coming after you. Just shoot your hand in there right now, wherever you're at. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Enemy's a liar. You're the church. Can't touch you. Come on, you belong to him. The gates of hell will not prevail. They won't win. God, we thank you right now. God, I thank you for every marriage that exists right now in this place and every marriage that will exist. God, and they've been facing resistance, and they've been facing, Lord, opposition. God, I pray that they would continue to power through, knowing that their promise and their breakthrough is on the other side. God, I pray for understanding between the two. I pray for open hearts between the two. And I pray that they would find, Lord, the finish line together. God, walking in victory, walking in victory, walking in victory. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, they're in this place that are battling something in their mind, that are battling something in their emotions or in their body. God, we thank you that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are already made well. So we can walk out of here in victory today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. And God bless you. Thank you for coming. If you need...
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.